Who do you need to contact? The next item on my agenda is a source of the information that I will need to complete the Peel Appendees. And now is the time to make early contact with the people that you rely on for the Peel Appendee information that will be included on the Peel Appendees. Pick up the telephone or send them an email or fax. Make sure that you give them sufficient time to be able to provide the information that you will need. It's helpful to give them a copy of the information that they provided last year, especially if it may be difficult to produce that information. It might give them a clue to where to look for it. Who then might we need to contact? My starting point would be the payroll department or perhaps an outside payroll bureau for details such as payments deducted from salary that will affect the Peel Appendees. This might be repayment of loans in excess of the 5,000-day minimum limit. Personnel or human resources for details of any new benefits that may have been introduced and for information on issues such as employee relocations where the tax-free limit might have been exceeded. The finance or accounts department should be aware of the costs and might have information on expense payments to be reported. Is there a fleet manager or a leasing company that needs to be contacted because they will have to provide details of company cars and or company vans, company fuel changes? Do we have to find out list prices, CO2 emission details, this type of thing from the fleet manager or the leasing company? And finally, is there anyone else that you need information from in order to be able to complete your P11Ds? Do you have to go back to the medical insurance provider to get details from them of the costs that you paid during the year? What about the reporting requirements? Well, employers must report all expenses and benefits provided to employees and directors or to members of their family or households. That is, by virtue of their employment. That means we also have to include costs met directly by the employer. Reporting is not restricted to amounts actually reimbursed to employees. So employers may have accounts with travel companies, with hotels, with restaurants, and those costs have to be reported on a P11D if they've been incurred on behalf of an employer or director, unless the company has a P11D dispensation to exclude such items. Who requires P11Ds? Well, P11Ds are required for all directors, excluding full-time working directors who have no material interest in the company, which is defined as 5% of the ordinary share capital. It also excluded directors of a charity or other non-profit-making organisation. And then for any employer director earning at a rate of £8,500 per annum. So the excluded directors will be very few and far between, because most directors who might be excluded are likely to earn more than £8,500 per year. Director includes any person in accordance with whose instruction the directors are accustomed to act. And then in calculating the £8,500 limit, you must include all salaries, bonuses, commissions, etc., and all expense payments and benefits in kind before deducting allowable expenses. Payments to an approved pension scheme and payroll-giving contributions can be excluded. Employers must provide each employee with a statement of the information shown on the P11D by the 6th of July 2008. I've already talked about similar reporting requirement on third-party providers of benefits in kind. There's no set format for this information. It might be easy just to give them a copy of the P11D, or it might be that a company memo is set out. As I say, there's no specific format. Anything that provides the necessary information will do, but it is a statutory requirement that must be met. Let's have a think about reporting exclusions. Employers do not have to complete nil P11Ds, but employees have had no expenses paid or benefits provided. And as already explained, items included in a P11D dispensation or items that the employer is settling in a PAYE settlement agreement should be excluded from the P11D reporting. Also exclude any items in a tax award scheme. A tax award scheme is often used by third parties incentivizing other employees, and they'll pay the tax at the basic rate or the higher rate, and then they'll issue effectively a statement to the employees. But if you do have a tax award scheme, or your client has a tax award scheme, then the amounts included there shouldn't be reported on the P11D. It's very important to remember to tell the employees and the directors what items they don't have to put on their tax return, otherwise they could end up paying tax that's already been paid. Chapter 5 of the booklet 480 provides a lot more guidance on items to be excluded. It includes things like office accommodation, supplies or services. It talks about exempt job-related living accommodation, payments towards additional household costs of employees who work at home, and payments covered by extra salary concessions or exemptions. It goes into it in quite some detail, so again, it's worth a look at that when you start the work so that you can make a note of what items you don't have to put onto the P11D. Calculating the benefit, well, the general rule for P11D purposes is that the cash equivalent is the cost to the employer or other third-party provider. That's based on specific legislation applying to directors and to what we once knew as higher-paid employees. The £8,500 limit, which I have mentioned a couple of times, has remained at this level for many years, and the current consultation on payrolling benefits includes a consideration of abandoning that limit altogether. I'm afraid we'll wait and see on that. There are some exceptions to the general rules based on special legislation, and this includes living accommodation, vouchers, car and fuel benefit changes, and company bans. Remember that you should include details of any amount made good by the employee or from which income tax was deducted under pay as you earn. The taxable benefit to be included on the tax return should be restricted to the net cash equivalent. You may need to make a corresponding adjustment to the total benefits reported on Form P11DB if you enter an amount from which tax has been deducted under pay as you earn, where the benefit is liable to Class 1A NICs. Well, also remember the timescale for making good should be reasonably short, and at least by the time that the P11Ds are submitted. This was reinforced last year in the Impact Foiling Limited decision, which was in favour of HMRC and rejected an attempt by two directors to make good fuel benefits. Long after the end of the tax year, they actually repaid the full cost of all fuel that they had, but it was decided that they were too late in doing it and they were charged fuel scale charges. A more detailed review of calculating P11D expenses and benefits will be included in a separate podcast on calculating benefits, which is effectively part two of the 2007-08 P11D podcast for the AAT this year. Thank you very much.